is now being recorded.
Hi, this is John Heerdink with the Groundwork Forum Network. Glad to have a friend of mine with us today, Rick Brownstein, that I've known for a number of years and seen as a very experienced gentleman that has over 25 years of CFO level experience, including Big Four CPA experience, IPO experience, and is sitting as a public company CFO within the technology and life sciences markets. He was also a member of the elite SEC advisory committee on smaller public companies and on the task force updating the 2013 COSO standards widely used in today's SOX 404 internal control compliance for SEC reporting companies. Rick also holds a BA and MBA from Michigan State University. So any Spartan fans out there, take notice. And 2 weeks ago, Rick merged his firm with Hardesty, a national executive services and financial consulting firm, and is a partner and national practice leader of the technical accounting practice. So thanks again, Rick, for joining me today and joining our Groundwork Forum audience and network. And maybe a good place to start, if you don't mind, is just telling us a little bit about this next move in your career and why you've merged your firm with Hardesty and what the next steps are. Thanks so much.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. It's so by way just of a little background, I've been a public CFO for a good part of my life. And a few years ago, instead of being the sitting CFO, I decided I know a lot of people around here, I would start to pull them together. And now we work with CFOs and controllers of, up until now, it's been mostly companies going through their first audit or getting ready for an IPO or public and helping them with the more difficult parts of the financial statements. I was working on a couple projects on the new revenue recognition rules, and we can talk about that in a minute, with Hardesty, and I've known the principal up here in Northern California for some time. Met them. They're a national firm based out of L.A., Irvine to be exact, so Southern Cal. And after we did a couple together, it made a lot of sense for me to augment what they would do, and I literally then merged my practice in, and really the focus. I literally just hung up on the call today with a big company in Southern Cal who is getting ready to do what we now call 606. It's the new revenue recognition rules that are in effect for public companies. They actually have to start reporting on them beginning the first of the year, and private companies are now starting to wake up and get ready. It turns out, even though it's fairly logical in its approach, it's taking companies. It took, for instance, the Googles, the Walmarts, the Lockheeds. I've been on calls with all of them. Took them all 4 years to do it. So we are starting to see a lot of interest from the private companies to get going, and it made sense to do it under one umbrella. It gives me a national forum and a lot more resources than I had in my smaller firm. So I'm pretty excited about it and kind of excited about what's going on in the whole world of accounting with all the new principles coming down.
Well, again, congratulations, Rick. I'm excited about where this next move will take you and look forward to being support in any way that I can. And, I guess from your point of view, is these new revenue recognition rules, ASC 606, again, how do you really see this playing out over the next year or two and these changes and the implementation, how do you see this playing out for companies?
Sure. It's, it is a big point of discussion among it started among the accounting standards board. So out here it's the FASB in the U.S. or the SEC, in Europe it's the IFRS and the EU. And they all wanted to try to get to a point where financials around the world all look the same, right? So if you picked up a set of financials in Venezuela or in Japan or in the U.S., they all kind of followed the same guidelines. And the way they ultimately decided to go about it is each year they're trying to pick a very big item and work on it separately together. And so revenue started, and that's this, you know, the if you would, the accounting code is 606. It's become just sort of an acronym now. And we're going to what I will call the European way of doing things. So now we have principles, which gives people a lot more judgment that you, and they just have to describe what it is they want to do and why it makes sense. And if they're being audited, get their auditors to agree that that is logical, as opposed to sort of the old rules, which we call 605, which is more cross the T's and dot the I's, and you can't get in trouble if you follow the rules. Now you have to make sense out of it. All that's well and good. It turns out that so much of the information we're now gathering doesn't exist in today's accounting systems. So we're looking at whole new ways of going about the thinking for this.
Interesting. So, and again, I guess shedding a little light of us that are not from Europe, this is the way it's been going on in Europe for quite some time. And why do you think it was that way, and why are we heading there now?
So maybe my opinion is it has a lot to do with tort reform that we don't have. So if you're comfortable with, as a public company as an example, and you've got a set of financials, you make a lot of opinions and you analyze things in what we call the MD&A section. And if you grab one of those and you look at it, there's a safe harbor that says you can talk about the future there and you can talk about the whys and wherefores and no one can sue you. When you get into the audited section, it's not that way. And we all know that we're in a pretty litigious society. Europe is not that way, right? If you make judgments and the judgments are, you know, involved estimates and estimates change, it's okay. You can literally correct it, and it's sort of expected. And from a theory point of view, I guess, probably makes sense to me, is that when the two standards bodies got together, the theory sort of dictated to an approach that said, you know, I cut a deal with a customer, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I get to recognize the revenue. You know, that's all kind of logical. And so what's a good example? People are all familiar with deferred revenue, right? So many people look at that, even though it's a liability, as a predictor of the health of a company and the future results of a company. Under the new 606, deferred revenue is going away. It's going to get much smaller, and what's going to be left is going to change the name. And specifically, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people now, and the beauty of 606 is because there are these judgments, those that get a jump on it, so I'm really focusing now on the private companies that still have some time, they can make some decisions before it's 2019 when this thing has to be done, and maybe adjust some business processes. If they don't like the answer, those that plan really get the benefit of that planning, and there are no surprises at this point. So there are industries, you know, around here, software industry. If you're involved in the software industry, there's this notion called DSOE. It's gone. All right. It used to force you to. So I'm sitting here talking to you on my phone, right? My phone, you know, cost $1,000. I paid, you know, Apple $1,000 for my phone, and they recorded it as $50 of revenue. That doesn't make any sense. And they record $50 every month. Now, under the new rules, they'll record about, you know, $800 of that $1,000, because there is stuff that they're delivering in the future. But you can see the shift in revenues for a software company. Microsoft is an example, just reported early, and they reported a change as a result of adopting it of over $6 billion in their revenue. Construction is another group. So there's about a half dozen industries. But if you think about construction companies, the people who are involved, percentage of completion is gone. There's a whole different way of looking at it. airlines, real estate, aerospace, telecommunications, those industries, those are what I call, I'm a football guy, right? So it's the red zone. If you watch football on Sunday morning, the red zone channel, it's where all the highlight, it's where all the action is. And so these companies are where all the, these industries are where all the action is, right? And if you think about it, if you change the numbers, you got to think about your commission plans, your bonus plans, taxes. If you've got bank debt, you got to look at your loan covenants. Your IT systems are probably not sufficient to handle it. You've got to look at your internal controls. So these companies, you know, even though it's a lot of work for everybody, these companies have a lot of implications because it affects maybe every department in the company.
Interesting. Let me ask you, you know, you've been a public company CFO on the tech and life sciences space, and you've had to address a lot of investors along through that, I'm sure. How would you maybe lead investors to look at this change and analyze it in, you know, in any aspect from your point of view?
I'm one that says this is a very positive change. You know, there's a lot of opportunity here. It's going to create more real financial statements. There's going to be, you know, challenges during this adjustment period, during the transition period, right? Everyone's, you know, from the investor point of view, everyone's going to have to keep two sets of books. So you're going to be able to still see a trend of results and get used to the new way. But I'm seeing it in the M&A world where, you know, people that are involved in buying a company are forcing due diligence down into these, you know, companies that are being purchased. They want to see what are their numbers going to look like, you know, after they adopt 606, because that's what, you know, that's essentially what they're buying now. How will it affect the investors, especially in these, what I call red zone companies, in probably two realistic ways. Is one, if you get revenue sooner, you pay taxes sooner, even though your cash hasn't changed. So that has a real dollar impact on companies. Secondly, if you're estimating revenues and expenses on day one, because you've delivered the goods, you're going to create a lot more volatility. And so a lot of the notion of spreading things out over, you know, a couple of years of, for contracts, those are going to, in many cases, go away. And people are going to have to get used to, you know, volatility sort of in, to an investor's world, there's more risk. And that's going to be, you know, not unique anymore. That's going to be sort of the standard that we're going to have to get used to.
Interesting. Good points. It will be fun to see how this plays out. Anything else you'd add on this subject at this time or, you know, from any aspect?
Yeah, I mean, so my big message as I talk to people is those that plan have choices. So the results that they get, you know, when you go through this initial assessment phase, are not the results they have to end up with. And that's, I just talked to this CFO of almost a billion-dollar company, and he goes, yeah, I kind of thought we just followed the rules, and that's how you did revenue. And I go, well, you know, now the beauty is you have to follow what makes sense and just document why you wanted to do what you did, and obviously good enough to prove it to your auditors. But if I had a takeaway message is those that plan, you know, will have choice. And those that don't plan will find that, you know, actuals are actuals and you don't have any chance to adjust them.
Fair enough. That's good advice and good viewpoint. One last question for you. With this heading into the end of 2017 and 2018, being that it all comes back to investing in a day for me at the Groundwork Forum and Vista Partners, which I'm associated with, as you know. How do you see it? Are you bullish? How do you see the markets in the year ahead?
So I you know, we'll see how the tax rules sort out. But I'm very optimistic. It's, I mean, people have been talking about these trillions of dollars that are sitting overseas. And, you know, if the money can start to come back here because it's a, you know, a reasonable rate to bring it back, it can really change the landscape. I know when I was sitting CFO for a company, if things were close, we'd much rather have our operations in the United States. It's just easier to control, get our hands around it. And so if you lower the regulatory barriers, which you know, I'm hearing a lot of the regulations have been reduced, and if you make us competitive tax-wise, you know, at least I'm bullish that next year should be a good year.
That's a good point. So, yeah, like the major corporations like Apple, et cetera, that have this money sitting off there, gets put back, that could be put to work in the U.S. With this tax reform or contemplated tax reform, it will be interesting to see how it plays out. And I think it does, as you say, it is the case for being bullish. So, well, Rick, I really appreciate you taking the time today and introducing yourself to the rest of the Rick, to the Groundwork Forum, and then also joining it yourself. And look forward to having future conversations with you and connecting with others that might be interested in what you're doing at Hardest and beyond. And well, thanks again.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.